To finish this first afternoon session, we have a talk by Ricardo Rodriguez de la Vega. So he's one of the organizers of this conference. He's originally from Mexico. He did his PhD there. He studied as a biochemist. And then he switched to evolutionary biology and bioinformatics for his first postdoc at EMBL in Heidelberg. And then he went to Tatiana Giraud's group here in Paris to for another postdoc. He had a Marie Curie fellowship, and he recently, in 2020, got a CNRS position.
Thanks, Lynn, and thank you again, everybody, for being here. So I need to put mine, I guess. There you go. And so we have plenty of time. So if I am very late, so I have 5 more minutes, but I think I have 5 less minutes. So we're going to have a very early no coffee break. So today I'm going to speak about something I've been doing with 2 PhD students and 1 visiting scientist, visiting postdoc. With Michael and Tatiana. This is the work of Fantan, Marin, and Wenhuan. I will mention them right in the moment. And just to, so I have even less work to do with the introduction. So we are almost finished. And so we all know what this is about. So when there is no recombination, things can go wrong, and they actually do often. And so they just, a lot of degenerated loci appear, and they just extend on up to the point that they can cover the entire chromosome, non-recombining chromosome, or even get to the last of the chromosomes, such as in spiny rat or other systems. And if things go really wrong, then you need to kind of recover your recombining part to fusing to an autosome. And so this process is what we have seen in many of the talks. It applies more to sex chromosomes. It's not so clear how this model applies to supergenes, and that's something I think we need to think together. How does that work? Because if the underlying causes are the same, we should be able to see kind of the same effects, the same outcomes, and it's not so clear for me. And so what we have so far seen is that it has happened many times, we know. We have started seeing why it might happen, because it's selected in many times. So even if it's paradoxical that degeneration build like something that promotes degeneration, it's selected, you can still, in some cases, to have some strong selection on having 2 things linked, and that everything that happens in between is less important that to have these 2 loci linked. And even with all these simulations and theoretical work that we have seen so far, we even know how cool has progressed this degeneration. But what we have not seen, or seldom until actually the last 2 talks and 1 this morning, is when did it happen? So, and since when it has happened? So how fast it progressed, how fast the degeneration progressed. And for that, I'm going to address the dating, the timing, the tempo of the timing of suppression of recombination. And another thing that we have seen little, although it has been mentioned many times, is what exactly has happened. And so what is this about, this transposable element accumulation, this sequence degeneration, these gene losses that seems to be at least pervasive in sex chromosomes. And if you put these 2 things together, the when and what, you can actually reach the point to have a what as a function of when, and we call that tempo, because it's something that relates to the how for how long it has happened and what has happened since. And so, and for doing that, we turn to an ideal model to study this. And so I don't need to introduce the system. These are Mycobacterium, different species of Mycobacterium fungi, plant castrating fungi. And the important thing here is that some of them are like many, many basidiomycetes. They are tetrapolar. It means it produces four gametes for reproduction. But in different places along the phylogeny, this system has switched to a bipolar, in which they produce only two types of gametes. And this system is actually advantageous when you have a highly self mode of reproduction. And the ideal model here is that because we have multiple onset of events, multiple onsets of recombination suppression events that had been selected for by this, the necessity of having these two, the advantages, not necessity, the advantages of having these two loci linked together. And so so we were lucky to start early in the long read sequencing. And what it was maybe not so expected at the beginning, because if you see this phylogeny, you had, sorry, I didn't mention, but another explanation of this pattern, it will be that you stop recombining there and then you revert to tetrapolarity, so having two different sex mating type chromosomes. But when we start sequencing and ensemble these genomes, what we realize is even in the case of these two species that are separated for over 12 million years, the gene order conservation, and these are plots are actually very similar to what Simon presented this morning, and these tracks are just almost complete conservation of synteny, a few rearrangements, and between mating types, there is virtually nothing. There are almost fully recombining mating type chromosomes. That's, it's in strike contrast to what happened in bipolar species, in which most of the, so when you link the two mating type loci, you have a very kind of chaos of rearrangements. It's just, they are shuffled. Everything that is that was in between, the two, that is in between the two mating type loci, they can switch, so they appear in different positions in the two mating type chromosomes. They are just completely rearranged. A lot of things had happened there. They stopped recombining. And when we compare that with the ancestral, so the ancestral state of chromosomes that are fully recombining, we realize that the same regions have always been, so have often been brought together, so the same, the different separate mating type chromosomes were fused and that were broke and then fused in different ways. And see, this is what I'm showing here for two species. And so we did that for a bunch of species. I'm just showing a little bit of all the species we have analyzed. But what we can be sure is that this rearrangement that brought together the ancestral separate mating type chromosome is different from this arrangement. We have at least two independent events of recombination and suppression. But then, since these guys are fully rearranged, we do not know if those three, for instance, were the same or not. It was something that happened here, and then it just independent evolution. And what we have seen today, it's a little bit what I'm just gonna show today, now, is how we actually disentangle whether it was once or several events that suppressed recombination between those two mating type loci after fusion. And so what I did is I developed a way of analyzing gene trees. So I took, since I have the ancestral gene order, I can just identify the homologous genes that it has been retained in the fuse, in the bipolar mating types. And then I can ask, what's your story about? So tell me. And when I asked that, of course, every single gene is going to tell me a different story, as just Yannick say. But the good thing is that I have a very good, strong species phylogeny in which I can compare these gene trees. And what I can ask to disentangle the effect of incomplete linear sorting is, tell me, do you look like the species tree? And if you look like the species tree, then okay, you are the species tree. It's okay. That's I have no problems with you. You are recombining. You tell me the same story. Even if it's different, it's just what this tree is telling me is I am not different from the species tree. Maybe I look different, but it's just because I have a different hat. I'm wearing a different glasses. So. And in this region, that if you remember, sorry for didn't mention, but this region is always, in every single case that we found this fusion of separate mating type chromosomes, this region is always it's always in an autosome. It was broke from the mating type chromosome, and now it's a new autosome. And so the expectations, what I will expect, is to have the same topology as the species tree. And that's actually exactly what I found. So for every single gene here that I can count, 271 out of the 300 that were originally found in the or at least that we infer were originally found in the separate mating types. And these two trees are exactly identical. And also, the dates for the speciation, they are just the same. So for that region, this region is telling me the species tree phylogeny. That changed when I start looking at regions that are now fused in a single mating type chromosome. And this is it's a complete mess, but what it's obvious here is that you have two kind of mirror trees, two completely separate mirror trees. That's what we call trans-specific polymorphism. And what it's telling here, and this is only 9 out of 24 genes, it's very few, but again, all those genes are different from the species tree, and the other thing here is that all of them are coherent to one another. So they, even if they do look different, there is no statistically significant differences that I can account for. So, and the date for the separation between the two different mating types, that's the circles and the triangle, it's older than the speciation. That's a like clear example of trans-specific polymorphism in this clade. Further down, this region has been fused to that region in 3 out of 4 in this example, and one, it's still an autosome. And then things get a bit more complicated, because in this case, you have two species that show trans-specific polymorphism, but the other one does not. Yet, the gene tree is still different from the species tree. This date is older than the speciation date, so these are trans-specific. There is a larger proportion of genes conserved in that region. And finally, in this region that it's always involved in the mating type, then we have a gene tree that is mostly identical to the species tree, but for the branch length. And this branch length is just that the separation between the two mating types that you will expect to be almost zero if they were recombining, they are a little bit longer. So what we conclude from here is that in this clade, there was a single linkage event that brought together the two mating type loci, and then it was followed by a stepwise recombination suppression. So we did for a bunch of species, and so what I'm highlighting here, the species are not important, is that this kind of gene tree, species tree inconsistencies, they are more or less common. They appear in different places of the tree, and that the different regions in the ancestral chromosome making separated mating type chromosomes, they have been recruited more or less times in the current in the mating types, bipolar mating types that we can see now. So now we know what happened. So when it happened, we know it has happened several times, but we know a lot of those dates. Let's look at what has happened since. And for that, I'm gonna talk about the transposable elements, the degeneration of the sequences, the generation, and a particular case of gene losses. And so this is work by Marine Duhamel in the room. So she developed a pipeline that we need to annotate repetitive elements in a let's say in a way that we trust our annotation. And so she developed this pipeline that is called MicroTipto, and it's available in GitLab. It should work for everything. It just put together a bunch of predictors of transposable elements, then it makes kind of a consensus of what a transposable element for each genome should look like, and then it brings this, puts all of these together, and then if you put several species from the same genus, it can give you a list of transposable elements specific for that, for your, let's say, your clade or your lineages of interest. And so what she found is that they are not very rich in transposable elements. They are between 20 up to 20-30% of transposable element content genome-wide. There are three types of transposable elements that are more common. These are two like RNA-mediated transposable elements, copia and gypsy, and one DNA element, elytron. But what we want to look at here is there any difference between the autosomes and the non-recombining regions? We also put this is the pseudo-autosomal regions that are still recombining in the mating type chromosomes, in the fused mating type chromosomes. And what it's obvious here is that there is not a lot in autosomes. Transposable elements are well perched in recombining regions. You have even less in the pseudo-autosomal regions, and this is perfectly expected, because since the pseudo-autosomal regions are smaller, the recombination rates in the pseudo-autosomal regions are larger. So selection against the purging of the transposable elements should be even better. This is exactly what we see for let's say class one transposable elements. Not so clear here, but they are very few anyway. But then they just go crazy and they invade the non-recombining regions in all the species that we analyze. There is not, maybe there is one that it's not so clear, but all of them is just boom, they go up. Then when Fatin Tan, that was a PhD student in the lab, we look at sequence degeneration. And for that, we did two things. We look at the normal, as Yula said, is just non-synonymous versus synonymous substitutions, just to see the effect or the effectiveness, how selection is effective or not. But more originally, we also look at the usage of codons. So we know the genetic code is degenerated itself. We say it's because several codons will encode for the same amino acid. If you were to expect, like, just even usage of all the different codons, you will expect to have a homogeneous distribution of codon usage. That's not what happened anywhere, so there is always a column bias. It might be something that is biologically meaningful or not. In bacteria, it seems that it's pretty clear that it is. In this case, it's not so clear, but what we found is that based on RNA-seq data of two species that are separated by more than 12 million years, we found out that the top expressed genes, so the 1% most highly expressed genes in these two species, regardless of where they are, they use the same kind of optimal codons. It's 12 million years of difference, and they are using the same codons preferentially. When we compare the mating type genes, the usage of codons in the mating type for the bipolar species, it was also not different. They are using the same codons. But the mating type genes in the non-recombining, the fused bipolar species, they are completely different. And this is just for leucine, and you can do this for all codons, all 64 of them, so all 20 of them, actually 19 because there is, no, yeah. There's one that is not generated. And then we compare the frequency of optimal codons in the different compartments. Again, autosomes, pseudautosomal regions, and non-recombining regions. This effect might be look small, but it's actually quite for this kind of distributions in which you have hundreds, thousands of genes, is actually very strong. And then when Wenhuan was visiting the lab, we started looking at the, since we have very good assemblies and very like an annotation that we can trust on, so we have a good gene calling, and so we just look at the number of genes that are now, this is this axis, the number of genes that are now in the mating type chromosomes, whether in a species that are like in different mating type chromosomes, like this one and this one. And then we ask how many of the genes that are here and there, because these are fully recombining, so we assume they are a proxy for the ancestral state, are retained in the non-recombining regions that are originated by the fusion of these two mating type chromosomes. And so we go from anything from like a little less than half to like 75%. So between half and 75% of genes had been retained. And then we ask in at least one of the mating types, and then we ask how many of those has lost a copy in the other mating type. And this is the points here. And that you can see is in recombining region, in fully recombining mating type chromosomes, there's very few losses. So there is very few asymmetrical losses. But in the species in which you have recombination suppression, you have something between 10 and 20% hemizygous genes. So they are in one, but not in the other. Yet, there is a lot of bunch of other genes in those chromosomes. And so this speaks about where are those genes coming from. We know they are not coming from autosomes. We can rule out, I'm not showing this here, but we can rule out at least a very large effect of duplications. Some of them are maybe like transposable elements that we missed, but since we have a pipeline that we trust, we think that's unlikely. So it's bottom line, there's a bunch of new genes that we need to find an explanation of, so where are they coming from, right? Some of them are shared in more related species, but there are very few between this one and this one. So we still do not know. But now that we know what has happened, now let's look at like how fast it has happened. Yeah. And that's what we call the tempo. And to go quick in this part, this is the accumulation of transposable elements versus the time since suppression of recombination. You have a very sharp increase and then a perfect, almost perfect plateau. In the case of sequence degeneration, you also kind of, the trend is much more or less clear, but it kind of drops very quick and then also flattens. And in the case of asymmetrical gene losses, it seems that it just follows a line. So it's like, this is what you will expect, because the more degenerated you are, the less genes you have. And so it's not what you will expect, because the more degenerated, the more losses you have, the less chances of losing something again, right? Because you already have very few. So it's counterintuitive. So what did I say? It's that extension of within non-recombined regions can progress in a stepwise manner, even within. The accumulation and sequence degeneration grows faster or decreases faster and saturates. But then gene losses continues, but it seems that new genes appear. One question that remains is, why are these different tempos? And if I want to put just one last analogy, it's that this degeneration is dancing different types of music. Some of them are dancing rock, some of them are dancing salsa, some of them are actually dancing just African rhythms. They have a different tempo. And another thing that maybe I would like to invite you to Marine's defense next week is how these different degeneration features actually interplay. And with that, I finish. Everybody, so many of the people were involved, Paul including, Osgur, Paul, Aledi, Jackie, Fanny, Mike from Florida, and Margaret, Dominic Bergro. And with that, I thank you very much. Thank you.